Welcome to T3 Podcast. I'm Kevin Carroll, Executive Director of Tech San Diego, coming to you from the temporary global headquarters of Tech San Diego in sunny Rancho Peñasquitos, technology's perfect climate. Glad to be here this morning. Erin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Kevin. I actually had a few meetings outside of my home last week, so things are starting to get back to normal, I think.
Well, slowly but surely. You know, Erin, it's funny that when I introduced you, I didn't introduce your title. What's your title at Marsh?
I am an employee benefits consultant with Marsh & McLennan Agency, and I primarily focus on the middle market. So I help companies craft benefits packages, wellness packages, things like that.
All right. I didn't want to introduce you by your wrong title. We're taping on a Monday, which is a little different taping day for us. How was your weekend?
Weekend was great. Like I said, I think things are getting back to normal. You know, hair salons are open now. So I got my hair cut for the first time in probably 4 months. I think I joke. I never realized how important haircuts were to my male colleagues until we went into quarantine. But for a female to go get her haircut for the first time in a while, it definitely felt like, things are getting back to normal. I'm excited. But other than that, you know, just some basic Netflix and chill, just like I've been doing for the last 3 months.
You know, yesterday was a nice day. It was Father's Day yesterday, and had a nice barbecue. And it, you know, struck me, one of my big secrets on, I make really, really good hamburgers, and they're pretty basic, but they're really good. And, you know, I start off by buying really good meat, but one of my secrets, and this is a secret I don't think I've told a lot of people, I'm not sure where I got it, is when you put the meat down, you put an ice cube in not a full ice cube, but a little piece of ice right on the top of it, and avoids it getting dry. So always good burgers at the Carroll House, and we had a great barbecue yesterday, and good times was had by all.
Well, Sam the cooking guy better watch out for you. You're going to have a cooking show next.
Well, I'm sure that's not what listeners are listening to, so let's get to the crux of our things, which is talking to great San Diego companies that are hiring great talent. And I would like to introduce Oren Eden from Too Simple. Oren, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Oren, I'm going to assume that Too Simple also has a lot of remote workers, and you may be working remotely?
Yeah, actually, I came into the office today so I could get that good corporate internet. But I'm probably one of two people in the entire building today. Our entire workforce is working remote right now.
You know, it's funny because when you, I know you joked about the internet, but you know, most of us at home we obviously have Wi-Fi at home, but it's always just good enough. You don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. And one of the things I had to do at the beginning of this was upgrade my Wi-Fi, right? I had to I got an Orbi mesh Wi-Fi with a couple different satellites, and it really improved everything. But I imagine a lot of people probably did the same thing.
Yeah. You know, I live out in Hummel, which is East County. For those of you who don't know, I live up in the mountains and all I can get is satellite internet. So I definitely had to do an upgrade there, and it's still just not good enough for my taste. But that's why I drove all the way to the office, and I'm getting that juicy Ethernet connection here. So I'm hoping everything will come through just fine.
Well, you know, Oren, I'm not sure what your satellite provider is, but you know, one of our regional companies, Viasat, has some really good satellite coverage. It's something you should look into if you get a chance, versus the more traditional satellite coverage.
I did not know that. Thanks for sharing. I need to look into that immediately.
So, Oren, you work for a company called Too Simple. Tell us a little bit about Too Simple.
Yeah, Too Simple. We're located in the UTC area, close to La Jolla, San Diego. And we are the most advanced global autonomous trucking technology company. We have about 40 trucks in our U.S. fleet, and we plan to go driverless. No one in the cabin of that truck starting next year.
Wow. Didn't realize we were that close. I know I just read an article over the weekend talked about autonomous commercial designating Highway 5 as kind of a key kind of a pilot program for that. So how long has Too Simple been around?
We've been around since 2015. So that's what, 5 years. I did some math there.
Carried a 2 and 1. So tell us a little bit about what your workforce looks like. Is it a lot of software development? Is it R&D? I don't think you're manufacturing anything, but tell us a little bit about the workforce, especially here in San Diego.
Yeah. So in the U.S., our total headcount is probably about 380 right now. And it's evenly split between Tucson and San Diego. Actually, probably a little more in San Diego, probably about 180 people assigned to our San Diego office. So Tucson is our testing facility for the trucks, but the algorithm, the software, all of that is developed here in San Diego. The core tech that drives the brain, so to speak, of the vehicle. So about 180 people. Most of those are in what I would label the computer sciences, people doing infrastructure, people doing IT, code development, in our algorithm team, we have lots of scientists, and you know, I'm not a technologist myself. They do very advanced, fancy stuff that sort of creates, like I said before, the brain of the machine. So I'd say probably about 100 people in the software sphere, about 40 people in the algorithm sphere. And then the rest are supporting roles like people operations, my team.
By the way, if you want to know more about Too Simple, Tech San Diego is actually hosting our AI and machine learning series sponsored by Cooley is coming up in a couple weeks. So go to techsd.org and we're going to be hosting one of their primary engineers for a deeper look into how AI and machine learning is really propelling Too Simple. So with that, let's go ahead and get into kind of the workforce and the talent and everything else. Aaron, I'm going to go ahead and let you start off. Why don't you go ahead? I see your hand raised here. Why don't you go ahead and start by asking a question?
Yeah, Oren, I know you mentioned some of your workforce demographics there, but what are some of these resumes these people look like? Are you hiring people with, you know, 15, 20, 30 years experience, or are these employees, you know, fresh out of college?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question. So I think it really depends on, in my opinion, the maturation of the particular discipline or skill that we're hiring for. So, you know, if we're hiring for finance, we're going to hire somebody who, you know, has been in the game for a long time because finance has not really changed materially in the last decade or so. We still, money's money. The techniques are pretty much the same. Infrastructure, basic IT, those things have been the same sort of evolving at a steady pace over the last couple of decades. But when you're looking at the key science that is driving the brain, I'm just going to call it that because in my non-technologist mind, that's the best way I could describe it. The fundamental technology, the machine learning, the AI behind all of this that makes the trucks function and do their magic, that's a very new. It's very cutting edge. So whenever we hire for those more technical type positions where the technology is still evolving quickly, it hasn't been well established, we're hiring people out straight out of school from top programs and things like cognitive science, computer science, even physics from top universities like Carnegie Mellon, MIT, because that's where we're finding we're going to get the sort of people who are ready to hit the ground running for work that in a lot of ways is theoretical and super new. And there's not a huge, I guess, basis or data set or whatever you want to call it that you can rely on. So somebody who's been in the game for 15 years and things like machine learning is really hard to find. We would love to hire them. But we're finding, you know, going to these top universities and getting these leading scientists with PhDs has been very, very successful.
Now, tell me a little bit more about cognitive sciences. I mean, you mentioned that you're recruiting from that kind of degree path, but that seems kind of off for me. What is it about a cognitive sciences degree that really helps an employee at Too Simple?
No, I think that's a great question. And I think most of the time we're looking for people who have a dual specialization in some sort of computer science and cognitive science. But because we're really developing machines that are thinking, that are going through models and making decisions and learning from past data. People who understand how the human brain works, you know, that's the most complex decision-making system that we know of. People who understand intrinsically and fundamentally how humans make decisions, how humans sort through the world, they're in a better position to understand how to write the code and to write the algorithm and to help this machine become more and more intelligent.
Very interesting and also kind of scary.
So, Oren, you're obviously recruiting from a very specialized field that's very competitive, you know, whether it's AI, machine learning, and data science. So how are you enticing people to go to Too Simple? What's different if you're making that pitch to either a new talent or even someone who's looking to change, switch positions? What's the Too Simple pitch? What are you telling people to get to work for you guys?
This is a very difficult labor market. Technology is just booming everywhere. And a lot of the skill sets that people have acquired or are getting through school are universal. It doesn't matter if you're working at Netflix or Google or Microsoft, a lot of those basic skill sets are the same. So we're competing with people who aren't even in our space in a lot of respects. So I think what we compete on is that this mission that we have, and our mission is to make trucking safer, more cost-effective, more efficient, you know, autonomous driving. Some studies have shown that it's greener. It saves on gas mileage. In our technology, you know, it makes decisions over 15 times faster than humans can. And, you know, the trucks can see nearly 360 with all these advanced sensors like LiDAR, which I think is some sort of laser-based radar. I'm not a technologist, people person. Please forgive me if I make a mistake on what these devices do. But what I'm getting at is these trucks are super sophisticated, and it's going to revolutionize how driving is done, how commercial driving in particular is done. And I think some things that we forget is like trucking touches everything. If you just like casually glance around you right now, there's not a single thing in front of you that was not enabled by the trucking industry. Like trucking is part, it's sort of the cardiovascular system in a way of the US economy. So if you are involved in this really cool mission of creating these trucks that are going to drive themselves, and it's going to make human beings safer, it's going to make the environment better, it's going to reduce cost, which in theory is going to be passed along to the consumer. So everyone sort of wins from this equation. And you're involved in something that touches your life and touches the life of everybody you know. It's exciting to be part of that. You know, we have lots of people we compete with for talent that are doing fun things, but they're not doing game-changing, revolutionary things. So I think that that's part of what entices people to come here is like, look, you're going to be part of something really revolutionary, really cool that touches every aspect of our lives. And you get to work with a diverse set of people. You get to work with world-renowned experts in all sorts of fields. You get to work with very intelligent, very passionate people from top leading universities. And we're all here to do the same thing. We're all here to really be like pour ourselves into this work and create something that's really going to change the entire world when we get there.
So Oren, when Aaron and I talk to people and we talk about culture, and hold on for a second before you answer, because, you know, the answer is always, you know, well, we're a family and we have a unique culture, and I'm really going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Really talk to me about what's different about, or maybe there's not, maybe your first answer about the mission is what drives people. But if you talk about the culture of Too Simple, what does that culture look like? And what are the benefits of that, that you also probably talk to new talent about, or your existing workforce?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. And I do agree. I think there's sort of these out of the box answers that I think I'm not going to give you. You know, the thing with technology and with the startup in particular is we hire very, very quickly. So, you know, culture, whatever culture you had 6 months ago, you know, your employee base you might have hired 40% more people. So you can't really define your culture in a meaningful way and say, hey, this is who we are from these earlier stages, because you're just growing so quickly. You know, 100 extra people to an organization with only 150 people changes the entire nature, because culture is organic. It is an ecosystem. You know, you move one little thing, the entire system shifts, just like sort of in the biological sciences. So the way I like to talk about culture is we identify what we're moving towards. We identify, you know, what's going to make us successful, because culture is really a set of shared beliefs and shared ideals around behavior and that kind of stuff. So I think the mission is what anchors us. Like, we're here to revolutionize this game. Okay. Then we discuss, we identify things that we want, that we think are going to make us successful, like collaboration, like taking ownership. And then as we're moving along this quickly changing organic path, we anchor ourselves with the mission, but we move towards these values, these behaviors that are going to make everyone feel safer psychologically and emotional. It's going to make their work more meaningful. The work is going to move a lot faster. So we have a set of four core values, but the one I think that I would always highlight for people we want to hire is really collaboration. And at the heart of collaboration is, you know, seeking to understand other people, opening your mind so that you are heard and that you hear other people, treating everyone diplomatically and respect. And I think what truly sets us apart is I've worked in tech startups before. I've been in that culture for a long time. And sometimes passion and ego fuse. You know, those things kind of go hand in hand in a lot of ways. But what really, I think, sets
Not only in startups, Oren.
Yes, yes. That's fair. Fair point. I think this is part of human nature. So what I think is extraordinary about us, and this is what I talk about more than any of these other things with new candidates, is that we have a passion. People are super smart, super excited, but they come to the table wanting to hear you. They come to the table wanting to solve for the bigger problems. And we don't have to worry about things like politics. We don't have to worry about things like ego, because those things really slow a system down. Those are toxic to an ecosystem. They make everything less efficient. You're spending a huge amount of emotional and cognitive resources just navigating a political landscape. And we don't have to do that here. We're creating this space where people are safe to share, to discuss, to dialogue. And people will put their own ideas aside and be like, hey, I was wrong. In order to you know, do what's best for the larger team and the larger problem.
Oren, it does seem like, and I know a couple of people out there, by the way, I am familiar Too Simple, but it seems like you have a very diverse workforce. And I don't know if that was by plan or that's where the talent was, but I'm curious about how, you know, you have a very culturally diverse workforce. How do you engage in activities that promotes that, or how does that manifest itself in kind of a Too Simple culture? Because I actually know, I think I'm kind of setting you up, because in fact, I know some of the fun things. I know some of the fun things you guys do out there that addresses some of that. So in a way, it's a setup question just because I know some of the folks out there, but I'd love for you to elaborate on that a little bit.
I think that's a great question. The diversity starts with campus recruitment. Like we target universities, not only have like great plans in place, great degree plans, great reputations, but we also target groups that that are renowned, or universities that are renowned for diversity within their programs, because diversity is what's going to help us move this forward. Because like I said before, what we're doing is cutting edge. It's new. So we need a wide range of mindsets. And, you know, diversity, a lot of times we talk about it in terms of those EEOC categories, which are just, you know, binary gender, a very short list of ethnic groups, age, veteran status. But diversity is more than that. Diversity is, you know, where you come from, how you learned, what sort of values you bring to the table. So if we really want to honor diversity and take it to the next step, which is inclusion, we have to create this space where we celebrate differences and everyone feels comfortable being who they are, and they don't have to come to work filtering everything. In HR, we call them disturbances, anything that's not like related to the work that prevents you from doing your best work. So if people don't feel safe just being themselves, that creates a disturbance where, you know, you're spending all this energy like filtering and sort of like walking on eggshells about who you are. So all that said, a lot of the fun things that we do is, you know, we provide meals. I think the coolest one is like lunch. We have this great sort of menu every day that people can choose from. And we ask people just to stop in the middle of the day at like noon 30, just come. And this is obviously pre-COVID. It will be post-COVID. Social distancing. So we have these great dining rooms where people really do stop working. They come down, they just eat, because food is something I think universally that brings people together. So we have these meal times. We have fruit time in the afternoon at like 3 o'clock, where we ask people to like stop working, just come, have a snack, just decompress, hang out, talk to people, get to know each other. So we have daily things, daily sort of like touch points, but we also have larger activities. We do family days. We celebrate cultural activities like Chinese New Year. We were set up to have a mini pride parade, but COVID sort of stopped that. So what we're trying to do is just look at our employee base, look what's important to them, and provide them like a community space where people can just like connect and have fun and put the work aside and really get to know each other as like humans.
Yeah, Oren, I think it's great to hear that you have those, you know, pause points in the middle of the day, because, I mean, it really does kind of support the employee's mental health. And, you know, I feel like sometimes people get so embedded in their work. And I mean, even I'm kind of guilty of this in COVID and non-COVID times of just, you know, pouring myself into hours and hours at my computer and not really taking a step back to take a break. So it's really great that you encourage that, because I would maybe say some of the competitors in the space probably don't, you know, work, you know, eat at your desk kind of culture. So it's great to hear that. Tell me a little bit more about just the core benefits packages, right? So that's kind of my space. I'm a little bit of a guru there. What do you guys offer as far as employee benefits?
I usually define benefits as anything that's like not cash compensation. So I'll go sort of through that area. So, you know, traditional benefits like healthcare, we have a PPO plan that is paid for by the company, 100% employee and dependent premium, which is really good because for people who don't know about PPOs, it's basically a wide network with lots of choice. So you don't need like referrals to see a specialist, which I think is very important for people because healthcare causes anxiety. It's a stressful thing. So when you have to go through all these loops and stuff to get there, sometimes not the best experience. We have a good dental, good vision. We purchase life insurance, accidental death, and dismemberment. I hate saying that policy.
Those are my favorite coverages. <All right. laughs>
We also pay for long-term and short-term disability plans because you never know what's going to happen. And that's particularly important for particularly, you know, expecting mothers when they go out on maternity leave. A lot of states like Arizona, the government does not have protections in place, does not have sort of really good benefits to keep your income flowing while you're on maternity leave. So that's the reason short-term disability, that's one of the primary reasons that we have it, is for expecting mothers in states that don't have the benefits that California has. We have our employee assistance program, which is pretty standard. We encourage people to use it all the time. You brought up wellness and mental health. That's one of the great benefits of that, is that you can talk to somebody anonymously. Because mental health is very complex, and it's very scary. It's stigmatized in a lot of sort of areas of society. So being able to talk with somebody anonymously, I think, is a very, very useful starting point in that journey towards mental health. We have great bonus programs. I know that's cash compensation, but last year our bonus averaged a little above 15% of base for all employees. This year we started giving stock to all employees. Before, it was reserved for very specific types of positions, senior leadership positions. But this year we're giving everybody a stock grant after they've been with the company for 6 months, because everyone works so hard. We want them to have a piece of the company, have ownership in it. And that's sort of I mentioned food, snacks, beverages. We have an entire refrigerator that's this full of things like iced tea and sodas, but mainly healthy things.
I love free food. That's one of the things I miss so much about being in the office, is having like a free like bagel or a donut brought in by a carrier partner or something. I miss free food. Now, Oren, tell me a little bit. It sounds like you've got a really good core benefits package. And having 100% paid on a PPO is very generous. Very generous for those of you looking at working for Too Simple. We don't see that too often. So that's really great. Tell me a little bit more about education, support, and like growth opportunities. So, you know, it sounds like you hire pretty fast and furious. And, you know, I can only imagine that, you know, people, you know, if they're the all-stars, you know, and they want to move up in the company, what does that look like from your perspective?
Yeah, a great question. And I think that's super important, because that is one of the primary, as we know through all this research, one of the primary drivers of engagement and a sense of belonging and future with the company. So we provide a general structure that I'll describe. And one of our core values is own. And about own is really taking accountability and ownership over things like your own career plan. Because I think a lot of organizations, they sort of like lay everything out and employees just sort of like follow it along, like the breadcrumbs. but that's not what we want to do. We want employees to be a champion and an advocate for their growth. So we create a structure, and then we reinforce a culture around, you know, you taking the charge. So we have job levels in place for most positions that sort of describe what the general requirements are and the general competencies needed and duties expected of the next level. So if I'm an analyst one and I want to be senior analyst or analyst two, what I do is I look at those job levels and I look at all these things that I do or do not have, and I sort of reverse engineer my career path. And we also provide a stipend for employees that they can use on things like books, courses, seminars, et cetera. We provide a lot of in-house training on things like soft skills. We'll be training, I think, next month on conflict resolution, managing conflict, We trained on things like having difficult conversations, motivation theory. And we have a performance review process. I know a lot of companies are kind of moving away from that, but I think it's very important for us because we're still growing very, very quickly. But that performance review process is really around celebrating everything the employee brings to the system, the development that they've had. And 30% of your review is actually on culture. 30% of your review, which impacts things like promotions and bonuses, is based on not only your output, but how you behaved, how you treated other people, how you talked with other people, how you drove resolution, how you figured out problems, how you took care of one another, how you made others safe. Because we think that's very, very important, because it doesn't matter if you have the smartest people on the planet, which we do, if we don't treat each other the right way, we don't communicate in the right way, then we're not going to cross that finish line.
You know, Aaron, I think that the question Aaron asked was really relevant. I thought you gave a really good answer to that, because that really is important. You know, we have a university talent initiative where we have Jared Hartman, a talent director from Tech San Diego. I was going to say sits on campus, but he's not doing much sitting on campus nowadays. He's conferring with students remotely. But we try to tell them that, you know, the job opportunities when you're looking after college, you know, while it's great to get a job offer from one of the bigger, larger multinational companies, the reality is working for a small mid-sized company like what we see in San Diego is affords a new set of opportunities, and opportunities that, quite frankly, you're probably not going to get with a larger company. And I think that, you know, traversing the career path is a good example of that, you know, where you might get stuck working for a big company, working on one little minute thing for a couple of years. You know, working at a small mid-sized companies, you're probably going to be working with different departments and in cross-functional teams and whatever. Can you expand a little bit about how the different units interact? I mean, is there lots of interaction, I imagine, between the Tucson team and the San Diego team? Do you have folks jumping on a plane, of course, when planes are going up there? And what does that interaction look like?
Yep. So to your point, you know, working at a small and mid-sized company, it does accelerate growth and development in a lot of ways. And I think one of the ways that does that is you are representing a department of like one or two to the larger organization. So you have a lot more opportunities for formal and informal leadership. You have a lot of opportunities to really drive the conversation and drive the collaboration around an issue. And we're able to, you know, that's one of the luxuries of being smaller, mid-sized, is you can be nimble and you can empower people to impact the larger system. You know, if I worked for Google, I couldn't get like the exec team in a room and be like, hey, this is my, I know I'm right out of school, but this is my idea about how we can improve this thing that is fundamentally challenging us and be heard and have that executed on. So I think the collaboration is really hard to describe because it's so organic, it's so quick, it's so natural, but we do have a lot of meetings. I know a lot of people have been saying that across the industry that the amount of meetings have gone up since everybody's working from home due to COVID. And that's true because human communication is really what drives this.
So we've talked about culture. We've talked about compensation. We've talked about the type of people you hire. Let me give you an opportunity to make a very specific pitch. We don't want these to be too dated, but are there particular skill sets that you're looking for right now? And where would people go to find out about those opportunities?
Yeah. So just visit our career site to find those opportunities. It's just toosimple.ai/careers. We post a lot of things on LinkedIn as well. If you want to see what we have available, we have a lot of positions available. So the general skills that we're mainly focused on in our San Diego office is those computer science skills, coding, development. Again, I'm not a technologist, so I couldn't break them down, but that's really what we're focused on right now because we're building out the structure that supports the larger technology that's driving the vehicles. So computer science.
Man, if I could go back in time and re-get a degree, I would get a degree in computer science. My biology degree from San Diego State doesn't really help me too much. I mean, I think you painted a really good picture for us, Oren. It sounds like you're looking for people that want to collaborate and really want to, you know, give to the greater good of this, you know, common goal. Now, I'm a little nervous about having semi-trucks driving around on them own, but I mean... it sounds like you've got a ton of people working on the problem over there, and it sounds like a good problem to solve. So,
Oren, I think that, you know, some folks are not going to be happy with you with the very positive, some other tech companies with how well you're doing on recruiting. You know, I think the myth is that with the COVID-19 pandemic, that in fact, tech companies aren't hiring. We're finding that's not the case. We're tracking a less than 5% unemployment rate. So we understand talent acquisition is still a big issue. So those issues surrounding that, which includes retention and recruitment, are going to continue to be key critical areas for company success. Too Simple sounds like a really good place to work. And we're going to go ahead and promote this with our university talent population, as well as other folks outside the region, so they could see really what's going on in the region. The other thing, which is nice to see, is we have a great cluster of autonomous driving related companies here in town. So hopefully, as Too Simple grows and some of these other companies grow, a rising tide will lift all boats, and we could continue to grow that cluster here in the region. So Oren, is there anything else before we let you go today?
I appreciate everybody's time, and please check out our career site, because we'd love to hear from you. If you want to change the world, come on down.
I think that sounds like a great pitch. Always visit techsd.org. Visit the tech directory, and that tells you all the companies that are in town. Oren, thanks for hosting. We'll see you at next month's T3, and we'll go ahead and close this session out. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
T3, Talking Tech Talent, is a Tech San Diego production recorded remotely in San Diego, California, and sponsored by Marsh & McLennan Agency. Major thanks to Oren Eden of Too Simple for joining us. This and all episodes of T3 are masterfully edited by Andrew Sims of Hypeable Impact. Kevin Carroll and Sarah Spiva are the executive producers for T3. To learn more about Too Simple and other San Diego tech companies, visit the tech directory at techsandiego.org. As always, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.